Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Transfiguration Sunday is a particularly Lutheran Sunday. Literally, the history of it brings that Lutherans were the ones to bring it more to the forefront in the church's celebration of the year. Some denominations don't even have it, but as Lutherans, we do. And the reason we do this is that at the very end of this season of the Epiphany, a season meant and designed to teach you and reveal to you that Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, certainly true Son of Mary, is also now true God. If we see how the divinity of Jesus, which we have heard about these last weeks of Epiphany, how it interacts with the humanity of Jesus. That the divinity can and does work through the humanity. And so he, in his body, becomes transfigured. His face like light, the light going even through his clothes. That he is revealing himself, his true self, since the incarnation, fully divine and yet fully man. But not limited by the humanity, but instead the divinity fully working through it. Now this might seem to be a little bit to you of like nitpicking or something that's maybe just too technical, but you'd be wrong. You see, in just a little bit we will have the Lord's Supper, where Christ's body and his blood by the power of his word will be taken by you and ate and drank at these rails. And at that very same time, our Lord Jesus Christ will be present in the same body and blood on 1,000 altars, maybe more, being fed to Christians all over the world. But how can this be? Doesn't Jesus have limits on his human nature like we do? But it goes deeper than just confessing the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. That the divinity and the humanity of Jesus work together for our salvation. That the fullness, the whole fullness of the divinity is in the humanity of Christ. That divine works, the works of God are now accounted to Christ's humanity. That for us to be saved, the mystery of how the divine nature works with the human nature must happen. Nowhere in the scriptures is this more clear than 1 John, which teaches us this verse, and it says, "The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Here you have the all-powerful divine nature being shown to work through the truly human blood of Jesus. Your blood cannot cleanse from sin, much less cleanse everyone from all sin. But Christ, his blood can. And it has. The great work of Jesus required this. It was necessary. And so today we hear of his body being transfigured. The divine essence and attributes of Jesus are revealed to those three disciples, and they realize that the great mystery of the two natures of Jesus is completely wrapped up in our salvation, and it is itself a requirement for it. Our text today teaches us this fact of Jesus. It is an epiphany of who Jesus is, that he is truly God, divine. But that also his divinity is fully exercised in his humanity. So true flesh, which is conceived in the womb of Mary by the working of the Holy Spirit, can and does show God's glory, his majesty. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, shines through that body of Jesus. This large glaring glimpse of who Christ truly is, this is what is revealed to those three disciples. And then they see him talking about the coming crucifixion and resurrection and his own ascension. They see him speaking with Moses and Elijah, knowing who they are and yet never having seen a picture of them. You see, this revelation of Christ's glory is tied to his work of salvation, his person, who he is, his work, what he does. And those are always tied together, of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Savior. In the midst of this discussion between Jesus and Moses and Elijah, Peter expresses his desire to stay there in the presence of the law and the prophets and the revelation of Christ as true God in glory. It's a very pious desire to stay in the glorious presence of God. But then reality hits. The voice of the Father comes in that cloud, brings real life back to this fallen world. The Father speaks. He says almost the exact same thing that he did at Jesus' baptism. But he adds one thing. He commands the disciples to listen to Jesus. And the disciples are terrified. They had just seen this magnificent sight, Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and now hearing the voice of the Father, they are terrified and they fall on their faces in the dirt. There is something great to be learned here for you. While we are sinners in this sinful world, we will have those sins which the majesty of God will cause us to be terrified about. That is right. God's majesty and his holiness are horribly offended by your sins. That you should be terrified by your sins in the presence of an almighty God. But then learn from the text today. The words inspired by the Spirit, the words spoken of Christ and spoken by Christ. He touches them and he tells them, he speaks, rise, do not be afraid. You see, in this lesson, you find the whole ministry of Christ summed up nicely, that on your own, with sins as a sinner, God's voice from heaven in all of its might and majesty and power is terrifying. But this, all of this changes. Everything of that changes when Christ, who is both fully God and fully man, when he comes to you and speaks his gracious words to you, that then your terror is taken away. And your ability to look up and see God in Jesus is restored. And you learn that if you are going to have that true and dear Father who is in heaven, you will need Jesus, his Son. You'll need his person and his work for your sake. And that you will only find that comfort and that path to the Father by words which the Father commands you to listen to, by the very Son of God who came for you. Listen to him. And take note the very next words that Jesus speaks after the Father commands listening to him are, "Rise, do not be afraid." It's not that the Father is a mean Father and wants you to be terrified and lost digging your own graves in the dirt with your sins, but that the Father, out of great love for you, has so arranged for your salvation to be by that Son, that here the Father himself teaches you to forsake any other way to him other than through his only begotten Son, with whom he is well pleased, his beloved Son. Not even by works of the law can you do that, but only by the work of the Son, which is commended to you by the words of the Son, which are commanded of you to listen to by the Father. And those words certainly include that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sins. That at the voice of Jesus, they looked up and saw Jesus only. You see, in this earthly life, God knows best what you need. The vision on the Mount of Transfiguration was what was needed for those three disciples. Peter's words from our epistle lesson this morning prove that. But the more general way that Jesus acts is shown when they look up and they see Jesus only, that the glory and the light had gone away. And Moses and Elijah were nowhere to be found. The Father's voice was no longer being heard, just Jesus remained there. And this is our God, our triune God's way of working with our frailty, with the wreck of our bodies after sin. The first sin took its toll. That God hides away. And yet by this text we know full well that the divinity of Jesus was maybe not on full display like it was at the start of the text. But we know that the full divinity of Christ is still there. And it was working in the hiddenness of the incarnation of Jesus for our good, for our salvation. That is what the disciples would have known. That's what they would have brought back to mind as they saw Jesus arrested and tortured and executed. That Jesus is not fully using his divine power here, though it was still there. That it was hidden away, not fully used for our salvation's sake. That though Moses and Elijah were not at Calvary like they were at the Mount of Transfiguration amongst the crowds at Calvary, the law and the prophets were certainly there at Calvary, being fulfilled by Christ in his flesh. That without Christ's death and resurrection, we would be lost. And so Christ, the beloved of the Father, who does all things well and is well pleasing to the Father, does what is absolutely necessary as both God and man for our salvation. Take heart. Take comfort and confidence in this. This is why if you take the Father's command, listen to him. You can hear what Jesus says today, even now as you await what is yet to come. Rise. Don't be afraid. That Christ has risen. His blood cleanses you from all sin. His victory is yours. His words are words which take away fears and terrors. And at the last, Christ's word will be the exact same. Rise and you will be raised. His divine power will operate behind his divine speech. Do not be afraid. At judgment day, you will have no cause for fear. For the beloved Son of God, who pleased the Father in everything, he has made the way for you to go boldly, with all confidence to the Father, even at the last. A confidence born by Jesus, worked by Jesus in his Spirit, that you need not be afraid. That Jesus has really done it. The Son has both fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and he has taken each and every last one of your sins away. That by his blood, you are made whole and complete. And by his blood, you are made holy ones, saints of God. That like he showed of himself at that mountaintop, you too will live in all glory, along with all the saints who have gone before you, and all the saints who will come after you. And this message is why Transfiguration is a great Christian holy day, especially a Lutheran one, that Christ, who is God, has done in his flesh all that was needful for you to be saved. Two natures, and yet one Christ, one Savior for all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.